Dear congregation, we have just sung from this psalm. With blessing is that nation crowned whose people know the joyful sound. They in the light, O Lord, shall live, the light thy face and favor give. Isn't that true? Who are blessed? Who have a joy that others don't understand? Who have a future in this world of sin and misery? It's those who know the joyful sound of God Himself speaking of peace and of pardon. Those who may live in the light of his face and know that that face gives life and grace. What a people. And some of us may hear that description and you understand what a blessing that is. Then you'll also understand why in our text we find someone say, who belongs to that people, come with us. And if you don't understand this blessing, then that call also comes to you. Come with us. On the way to glory, where Christ already is. It's what this text is about. Let us listen prayerfully to this as our theme, come with us to the promised land. None who heed that call will ever regret it. Come with us to the promised land. First, a rich invitation. Second, a regretful decline. And third, a repeated urging. First then, a rich invitation. Those words, come with us, they sound in the wilderness. Israel has been brought out of Egypt, delivered from that bondage in Egypt. They have been led by the Lord, that pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. They have been led through the wilderness to Sinai. And there they have been for over a year. And now it is time for them to move on, because this was not their rest. This was not their home. There was another place awaiting them. And so they are about to move on in their wilderness journey, following that pillar of cloud and of fire. And as they are getting ready to go on their further on their journey after this period of time at Mount Sinai, and everyone is busy packing up, there's also someone else who is busy packing up, but Moses is afraid that he's not packing up to go along with them, but rather to go somewhere else. And his name is Hobab. Do you know who Hobab is? If someone had asked you yesterday, who is Hobab, would you have known? Well, this is Hobab we read of in our text. And this Hobab is spoken of as being the son of, verse 29, Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. And so he was actually the brother-in-law of Moses. Raguel is another name for Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, a brother of Moses' wife. Hobab is a Midianite, a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. And so Hobab was not part of the promise line, the did not share in that blessing that rests upon Isaac and upon Jacob and the line of Israel. He was a Midianite. He came somehow to visit Moses. Was it because he had come along with Jethro? Remember, Jethro also came to visit Moses, his son-in-law. Jethro is a very interesting person because he is someone who appears to worship the God of Israel. He is the one who gave counsel to Moses. He's also one who sacrificed with the Israelites there in the wilderness, and Moses allowed him to do so. So clearly he was someone who worshiped the God of Israel. Did he go back to his family and also tell them about the God of Israel and what God was doing for the people of Israel? And did that also incline Hobab to go to the wilderness and also see for himself and hear for himself from Moses what the Lord was doing for them? We don't know. Whatever the case, he is with them there in the wilderness. And now that Moses is about to lead the people onward, Hobab is about to go home. And Moses says, "Come with us." Why? Is it because Moses just wants to have some family along with him? So he says, "Come along, let's stay together." That can sometimes be part of the reason why we tell our family members or our children, "Stay here, don't move far away. We want you close to us." But that's not the focus here. Is it because he says, "Come with us, Hobab, you will be much better off financially if you come along with us, because it's a land of flowing with milk and honey, and otherwise you'll just go back to that wilderness where the Midianites are"? So often financial reasons can be what determine where we go and what we do. Will we get ahead financially or not? But that's not what Moses speaks about. Is it because the land of the Midianites is such a bad place? Moses could have spoken about the evils of the land of Midian. In Numbers 22, it was the elders of Midian who joined with the elders of Moab to go to Balaam to curse Israel. In Numbers 25, a Midianitish woman led Israel to adultery. In Numbers 31, God commanded the Israelites to slay the five kings of Midian for what they did to Israel. Moses could have said, "Don't go back to Midian, because Midian is a godless place and the Midianites are going to be judged." But he doesn't even focus on that. What is the focus of Moses? Verse 29. He said, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel.'" He says, God has spoken good. And we are going to the land God has promised us. We're going to the promised land. The focus is the promise of God. You hear how he places God saying he will give it to them in the foreground. It's about what God is doing, what God has prepared for them. God will fulfill his promise. And God has given us this land, and God will be our God there and bless us there. He's leading us through this wilderness to that promised land. And that's why Moses also adds that God has spoken good concerning us. Isn't that amazing? Because we know what these people were. They were not good. And God also saw what these people were. He said about them, they are a stiff-necked people. And yet he spoke good concerning them. He spoke good words, literally towards them, upon them. He spoke and he gave them these good, gracious, blessing words. You think of number 6, that well-known word that God spoke towards Israel when he commanded the priests to bless and lay that word of blessing upon the people of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God had spoken good. God has given his words of blessing towards this people. And bound up in that blessing of number 6 is everything that a sinful people can possibly need. And all that can fill their hearts. His mercy, his peace, his favor. That's everything, congregation. Truly, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Can there be any other conclusion than for Moses to say, Hobab, come with us. Come under those words of blessing. Come to that place that God has promised to give us. Come to be part of us, where God fulfills his promises of grace. Come. It'll be such a blessing, Hobab, for you. And as you see Moses there, standing, speaking to Hobab, do you not see a picture of those who live by faith throughout the ages? Those for whom God's promises have become precious. Have come to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And to be anywhere as long as you may be with the Lord is good. He is so good, so gracious, for the sake of that sacrifice that has been offered up. That's why Moses desires others to know and see and share in and taste of that goodness as well. My friend, you see in Moses something of your own picture by the grace of God. That God has redeemed you from that slavery of Egyptian sin and bondage. He set you free through the blood of the sacrifice. And he has made you a pilgrim and a stranger in the wilderness of this world. That this isn't your home anymore. You're traveling through. And that there's a better country. There's a far better country. There's that country that Abraham looked to. That heavenly country where all God's promises will be fulfilled. And no, you don't always see it. But there's times when it echoes in your heart, the final words of the Belgic confession, therefore we expect that great day with the most ardent desire to the end that we may fully enjoy the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. How blessed to be on that way by the grace of God to that heavenly country where all God's promises will be fully enjoyed in Christ. What a blessing if you may travel, not alone in this world, but you may follow him You may have him as your God to care for you, to bless you. If you may go through life, whether it's through trials or whether it's through days of prosperity, but you may go under those words of blessing and words of good that he speaks towards you. What a blessing, even if it's in the wilderness. And even if that means having everything stripped away from you, as long as it makes you dependent on him for his blessing and his grace in the midst of it. What does it matter if there in the wilderness he exposes you for what you are, if it only makes his grace the more precious? What a blessing to journey through this world by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of the Father. And that looking unto him as that forerunner who has entered in already, you may realize, this is not my home. There, where Christ is, that is my home. Then, you don't want to journey alone, do you? You don't want to journey with only a few, do you? It makes you desire to see others also come with you, to enjoy those riches, to enjoy that blessing, to enjoy this God who is faithful to his word of promise, that you don't say it enough, but it's there in your heart. When you see your children, and when you see your loved ones, and when you see others in the congregation, and when you see those you work with, and when you see, you say, come with us. This is the only blessed life in this world. Come with us. Can even be at times you hesitate to say that I am an heir of eternal life, and that heavenly city is where my citizenship is. There can even be struggles, and there can even be a lack of assurance and everything else. And yet you know this is what's truly blessed, and you desire to see others also joy, enjoy this blessed life. Come with us. Such a difference from the posture that simply points out the sins of others, and that one is bad, and that one doesn't do what's right. But there's not this, come with us. It's so different than simply telling others what to do and what not to do. Trying to make simply our children fit within the biblical mold or code of conduct, but it's all so cold. What a blessing when your posture is, come. There's nothing more blessed. When your posture is that way towards a sibling, a brother, a sister, like Moses towards Hobab. What a blessing when there are lives that are an invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What a blessing. What an impression such lives may have on others in the congregation, among loved ones. It's worth more than so many words, where people sense this is real. It's real. There is a real God who really blesses and who really shows his grace. Whether that's ones who have grown up in the church all their lives, come to know this blessed God, or whether it's ones who have known nothing of him and come to repentance. Some time ago, I heard Pastor Thackway from England tell of a very rough character in town. And he never went to church, and he was converted, and he joined his church. And he said now he's a witness to his former friends, and they can't deny that he's different. And they don't understand what makes him so different. And he says, come along to church, and there you'll hear it. Who's the last one you've invited to church? Because you're not ashamed to invite people to church. Even if they come here and think, well, this is somewhat different. Because you know here there is that unspeakable treasure. Here is that word of God. Here is that blessing of God to be received by guilty, ungodly sinners. And so you say, come. Come along. Because you know that God's word is so powerful to bring to conversion and salvation. Come. Who will you say this to? And that's weak. Oh, come. Come. And I know everyone comes short. Just heard of a man who came to the end of his time in office, an elderly man who was soon to die. Someone asked him, what do you think as you reflect back? And he said, one thing I regret is I didn't speak well enough about the Lord. It's because he knew the Lord was so good. Everyone comes short, but is this something that also echoes in your heart? You know, if the Lord and his service and his blessing and his promises leave us cold, then we don't see how good the Lord is and the word that he speaks and in the grace that he gives. And then there is not that desire that also others would share in it because we ourselves are not feeding upon it. And that can even be as his people, as his children, that we've wandered away and that's why it's so dry and there is not that witness. And then that call of Moses comes to you where you are. Says, oh, come back to this God who is so full of grace and is so unspeakably good for his sinful people time and again. But if you're a stranger altogether to that grace, then that call reaches you as well. Oh, come, don't waste your life without God, because a life without God, without the blessing of God, is a waste and is to be on the way to destruction. Oh, there's a better way to live, and that is to belong to the people of God. You've seen examples of that, haven't you? You've seen people. And you sense they have a blessed life. And you know deep down it's because God has been merciful to them. Maybe you've also read about them. Biographies. Can be good to read biographies if it's a means to show us that God's people are a blessed people. Does that ever stir you to jealousy? Does that ever make you ask, oh, may I also belong to that people and go with them to that heavenly place? He calls. You've just been going through the motions of coming to church for so many years. You've not seen the great goodness of God that's filled your heart in Christ. That call comes tonight. Let that not continue any longer. Because only the forms are so empty. They do not truly bless. They do not give comfort in life, and they certainly will give you no comfort at all in death. He says, oh, come with us, Moses says. Maybe you say, but that's fine for Moses to say that. And that's fine for a child of God to say that. But does the Lord himself say it? And that's an important question, because people can say all kinds of things. And you, in turn, can say all kinds of nice words. But what does God say? What makes you hesitate and think he wouldn't say it? Do you maybe look at certain believers, maybe even people of the past who've passed away, and you say, oh, they were so godly, and I'm not. How could I think that I could be long to God's people when I think of what they're like, and I'm so different? My friend, what are God's people? They are ones as ungodly as anyone else on the face of this world. And the only difference is the grace of God that saves, that changes, that blesses, that converts. You don't have to make yourself look like a child of God and behave like a child of God and act like a child of God and all these other things, and then God will make you his. No, it's in the way of confessing you're so opposite and you have such a sinful heart and such a sinful life, and confessing that before him, who welcomes sinners as they are, to wash them, to cleanse them, to restore them to himself, to make them new and belong to him with body and soul in life and in death. The question is, what does he say? Christ says so clearly, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you the blessing of God himself. Moses stands. Come with us. It will do you good. How does Hobab respond? We see, secondly, a regretful decline. There stands Moses, with hands, as it were, outstretched to Hobab. Hobab, come with us. And Moses maybe looks into the eyes of his brother-in-law with that longing, with that hope. Will he listen? Will he come? Hobab hears. Hobab thinks. And he responds. He says in verse 30, I will not go. So clear. I will not go. Go. I've made up my mind. I'm going back to Midian. It's clear. On the one hand, you can be thankful when people clearly say what's in their heart and on their mind. There are some people who say all the right words, but their heart is far from it all. And it's just hypocrisy. He says what's on his mind and in his heart. And you're thankful that he's honest. But it's so terribly sad what he's honest about. There's some who can pride themselves in openly saying, I'm unconverted and I know it. What a terribly sad reality that is. He won't join the people of God. Where God's blessing is to be found and God's promises are fulfilled. Why not, Hobab? He says, I will depart unto my own country, my own land, and to my kindred. His land was Midian, not Canaan. He didn't say, I desire my home to be in that promised land where God's blessing dwells. He was content to return to that land of darkness and that land of heathenism. The land in which he was born, the land with which he was familiar, the land where he had all his possessions. His treasure was in that land of Midian and not in that promised land. All that was valuable and familiar and enjoyable to him was in that land of Midian. There he had his bonds. There he had his kindred, his family, his relatives. He didn't say with Ruth, thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. No, my people, my kindred are back there and I'm going back. What's behind this? He doesn't see the value of the people of God. And maybe you say, well, that's understandable. If he had spent any time in the wilderness among those people of Israel, then is it any wonder that he didn't want to be part of them? After all, what kind of people were they? They were people who murmured and people who complained and people who strove among each other. They were people who were not so very nice. Why should he belong to those people? Congregation, when we see people not desire to join with us, must we not also search ourselves? What example do we show? What consistency and winsome godliness is displayed in our lives? Or when they think of the church, do they think of people who are selfish and people who are greedy and people who just are out for themselves? Do they think of people who are fighting together and do they think of all those things and that they say, I want nothing to do with those people? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. Or not. Do they look at the church and say, well, they all are nicely in church on Sunday, but when you see how they do business on Tuesday, and they're in church on Sunday, but they're just like us for the rest, then it's no wonder that they think, why should we belong to that people? Then it's also, I say it carefully, not surprising when ones who have grown up in the church say, why should I stay? But here's the question, can Hobab say, I have good reason not to go with this people because those people, I've seen enough of them? No, congregation. Because the focus is not simply those people and all those little tents there that were there in the wilderness. The whole focus is that one great tent in the midst of those people of Israel. The whole focus is the Lord himself who dwells in the midst of those people. That is the focus. And when people turn away from the church and when people go their own way, then it's not just that they're leaving people, but they're leaving the Christ who is in the midst of the church. That's the focus. And this is the amazing thing, that God himself was still pleased to dwell in the midst of those people. God, who knew more than anyone else how terribly sinful they were, he still continued in the midst of those people in that tabernacle, in that holy of holies, on that mercy seat sprinkled with blood. And if God did not leave those people, then who is anyone to leave them and say, well, they are not, I'm going my way. God was in their midst. And that is why Moses says, Hobab, come with us, because God is the God of his church. If anyone thinks I don't see value in belonging to the people of God because you've been able to find fault with different people of God, you're missing the point. It's about their God. It's about the Christ. It's about having him. It's about belonging to him. And if we don't want to give up things, if like Hobab, to go another point, like Hobab, we have our treasure just in the things of this world, and we don't want to give it up, it's because we don't see how great God is as that portion, as that treasure of infinite worth. May I show you a better way? The way God led Moses. Moses could have stayed not in a wilderness land of Midian, among nomads who wandered about with their flocks like the Midianites did. Moses could have stayed in the palace of the world's superpower as it then was. Moses could have been there as a prince. Moses could have enjoyed all that his heart could wish of this world's good. He could have received honor and power and influence and everything else. But we read in Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Do you hear it, my friend? Faith sees reality. By faith, you will count all that the world has to offer as nothing compared to belonging to this God. You will count all the pleasures of sin for a season as nothing compared to tasting the goodness of God. By faith, you'll be willing to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy those pleasures of sin for a season. Then you won't care what other people think. Because you value belonging to the people of God worth more than all the smiles of the world and all the smiles of a superficial Christianity that thinks it can have the world and God at the same time. Moses saw the recompense of the reward. Not just an earthly Canaan, but a heavenly Canaan. And that made all the afflictions as nothing compared to that heavenly country that awaits. That's what it's about, congregation. By faith, with Moses enduring as seeing him who is invisible. In your bulletin, you had a reference to eyes and spiritual sight. By nature, we're so blind and we don't see it. But by faith, you then see him who is invisible. And you want to belong to him and to be with his people and to be a pilgrim through this world. And you say, to whom else shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What grace. Moses had not been disappointed. After all these years, after making that choice, he had been disappointed with himself. He had been disappointed with people, but he had never been disappointed with his God and with that good word of God and with the shepherd of the flock. And that's why Moses, when he sees those people getting ready to go further in the wilderness, and he sees Hobab ready to go back, he doesn't say, "Hobab, actually, it's been a hard time here with these people. I'm going to leave them as well, and I'm going to go back with you, Hobab, and let's just live a nice, quiet life on our own." No, he says, "Hobab, come. Come with us under the blessing of God to the promised land." My friend, that call comes. Come with us. You may have many things that you have found fault with in the church or in different people who say they are believers. But what can you find fault with in the shepherd? That you would not desire to be part of his flock who follow him. What better can you find in the world than what he gives? Oh, that none of us would be so foolish. And if you are, have been, and still resisting this shepherd, confess the folly of it before God, and your blindness before God, and your stubbornness before God. Confess it before God tonight. This God who breaks hearts, this God who opens eyes, this God who brings to see reality, that to live apart from God is death, and that it's good to seek his face. Because what he says and what he gives is good and is gracious. There is nothing better in all the world than to belong to this shepherd who leads through the wilderness to the promised land. Would God do so? Also for Hobab, we see in our final point, not only a rich promise and a regretful decline, but also a repeated urging. Moses hears those words of Hobab, "I will not go." What does Moses say? Sometimes we can think, well, I've told them. They know. That's all. I've done my duty. You could say Moses had done his duty. But Moses isn't content with that. And this shows the love in the heart of Moses that he truly desires to see Hobab come along with them. And that's why Moses is not easily put off. But he speaks again. When you really have a love for someone and you don't want to see them hurting themselves and ruining themselves, then you cannot just say it once and now you've said it. Then you want to say it again, and you want to say something else, and you want to... And no, you can't always speak to someone. And there are times when you have to, can I put it this way, leave them in the hands of the Lord with that message they've heard. And yet you seek those opportunities. Can I yet say something again? And maybe that's to stir up someone here who you have that concern, and it's been so long since you've dared say anything. Will you not pray God for another opportunity to again still say something again? Moses speaks again. And he says in verse 31, "Leave us not, I pray thee." That word, "I pray thee," shows the urgency. He's pleading. "Leave us not, I pray thee." And then he adds two more reasons. He says, "Thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes." It's something we may not have expected. That he says, "Come with us so that you can be our eyes." Doesn't Israel have the Lord as their guide and the Lord's eye upon them and the Lord to show them their way? Do they need Hobab to be their eyes to look out? Certainly the Lord is the one who's leading them, and he is providing for them. They will still reach the promised land without Hobab. They're not dependent on him. And yet Hobab, who lived all his life in the wilderness and was familiar with the wilderness, could be a means of good for the people of Israel. He would know what plants are dangerous and what plants are good. He would know where there might be water. He might know where there might be places for their cattle. He might know where there are dangerous animals or whatever else. He may know these things, and he may be, as it were, their eyes, and he may serve their good with what God had given him. And the second reason is in verse 32. "It shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee." Again, Moses is referring to God's goodness. And he trusts that God will do good to them. And he trusts that Hobab will then share in that goodness that God gives. And there's also this element, that as God blesses them, they will also serve the good of Hobab. They will use what God has given them for the good of Hobab. Hobab will be for their good, and they will be for Hobab's good. You could even call this, the Catechism speaks of, as the communion of the saints, the God's people sharing in what God had given to each of them for the good of each other. And this is another motivation for him to be with the people of Israel. You could say the church. It's also for us today. God gives to each of us gifts. Why does he give us those gifts? That we may serve the good of others. That we may serve especially his church. He doesn't give us things just for ourselves and our own enjoyment and our own getting ahead in life. Sometimes you see young people and they're driven in their work, and we can think what a gift they're able to work hard. And then you think, oh God, use them to work hard in the kingdom. In whatever way that takes. You see others who have much money. You say, oh God, use them in service to thy cause. And you see young people who may have a keen mind, and you say, oh God, use that mind in service to the church. You see others who are very outgoing, and you say, oh God, use that gift. Use them in order to spread that word. Sometimes there may be people, and maybe you think, well, I'm not gifted. So you have nothing. No way to serve the church. There can even be ones who just see sin and suffering and brokenness and everything else. You say, what use can I ever be? But then the prayer is, Lord, fill with thy grace so that I'd be an example to others of that suffering with patience, of that comfort wherewith God comforts me, that I may be able to comfort others. Everyone has a place in the church and a way to serve in many different ways. And it's in that way that you then also benefit from the good that God gives to others. In the midst of your weakness, in the midst of your lack, Hobab may have known the wilderness, and others may have been taught more of the Lord, and so they could serve each other and be of help to each other. What a blessing that is when you have ones around you who can truly be for your good. You know, as young people, who do you seek for your friends? Are they ones who can truly serve your good? Or are they ones who would lead you astray and dull your conscience and whatever else? They'll only harm you in the end. But here the focus is on doing each other good out of the goodness of God towards them. And so this call comes. Come, be for our good. Don't waste your life. Also, young people, as you see the congregation here, what will you be? Will you say, I will give myself to the congregation and I will seek the good of the congregation that we may be the next generation in the midst of the congregation? Well, come with us is a call that comes. Did Hobab heed the second urging? The only next words we read is, and they went, they departed. They, referring to verse 28, the children of Israel. Was Hobab among them? Some have said yes. Because we read in Judges 4 that when there was a battle of Sisera and Deborah and Barak, then we read of Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab. And Heber's wife was Jael, who drove that tent peg through Sisera's head. So Hobab's children lived near the children of Israel. Is that because Hobab went along with them and so became part of them? Others have said, no, he didn't go along, because this is before Israel refused to enter into the land and everyone over 40 had to die in the wilderness. And so if Hobab must have been over 40 and then... So he must not have gone along. Did he go or did he not? We're not told. And maybe we're not told so that we would be left not with Hobab, but we would be left with ourselves tonight. Do we go? Is our one desire, let me behold thy people's good, and in their joy rejoice, and let me follow thee as that good shepherd through the wilderness of this world to that heavenly country, and be a blessing on the way out of thy grace. I end tonight not with Moses saying, come with us. I end tonight with that great shepherd. That great shepherd who says, follow me. There is no other way to go. This shepherd has come to seek and to save the lost, to gather them around himself, and to lead them through this life to that heavenly country, that promised land. And if that is a grace he has shown you, will it not also make you desire that others also would come to that place? Amen.